It's Monday, May 2nd, 2011. I'm Albert Moeller, and this is The Briefing, a daily analysis of news and events from a Christian worldview. This morning, of course, there is only one story that demands to be discussed, and that is the announcement last night by the President of the United States that terrorist leader Osama bin Laden had been killed in a commando raid deep in Pakistan. Last night, the President spoke to the American people in a very rare late-night address. As he addressed the American people, he said this: "Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children." The president hearkened back to the terrorist attacks in the United States on September the 11th, 2001, and he said this: "We quickly learned that the 9/11 attacks were carried out by al-Qaeda, an organization headed by Osama bin Laden, which had openly declared war on the United States and was committed to killing innocents in our country and around the globe. And so we went to war against al-Qaeda to protect our citizens, our friends, and our allies." Later in his relatively brief address, the president said this: "Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body." The president concluded that section of his address by saying, "For over two decades, bin Laden has been al-Qaeda's leader and symbol and has continued to plot attacks against our country and our friends and allies. The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda. Yet his death does not mark the end of our effort. There's no doubt that al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us. We must and we will remain vigilant at home and abroad." I want to pay attention to the way the president closed his address. He closed it with a statement of American will. He said, "The cause of securing our country is not complete. But tonight we are once again reminded that America can do whatever we set our mind to. That is the story of our history, whether it's the pursuit of prosperity for our people or the struggle for equality for all our citizens, our commitment to stand up for our values abroad, and our sacrifice to make the world a safer place. Let us remember that we can do these things not just because of wealth or power, but because of who we are, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." End quote. Now, the reason I drew these particular points of attention for the president's address is this: what we note when we look back to September the 11th, 2001, is a sense on the part of the American people that there must be some justice, there must be some moral and ethical closure to the terrorist attacks that killed more than 3,000 Americans on that date. There was never any doubt that Osama bin Laden was actually behind these attacks. He, after all, is the financier and mastermind of al-Qaeda, which had been identified even in the early 1990s as a primary source of terrorist activity around the world, with a specific target on what bin Laden called the far enemy, that is, the United States of America. Now, the history of bin Laden goes back especially to the first Gulf War in 1991, when he was incensed that the Saudis allowed the Americans to place air bases in Saudi Arabia in order to fight the war against the Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. But looking back over the last several decades, it is clear that what Osama bin Laden really became was a key financier, a very key strategist, and indeed well described as a mastermind of mayhem and terror and murder worldwide. Now, let's remember the fact that when terror is used as an instrument of policy, as in the case of Osama bin Laden, he's following in the line of those who, going all the way back to the zealots in the intertestamental period, and of course the terrorists who attacked Rome and others, used terror as an instrument of warfare. That's why the President of the United States used warfare language in describing why this commando raid had been conducted and why Osama bin Laden had been specifically targeted for what can only amount to a military assassination. Was this assassination just? Well, there are several factors we need to take into consideration. First of all, we need to remember that Osama bin Laden said that he would not be taken alive. Attorney General Eric Holder, just a few months ago, had made the statement that Osama bin Laden would almost certainly not be taken alive, and as he said, Americans would be reading his Miranda rights to Osama bin Laden as a corpse. Well, whether the Miranda rights were read or not, and that, after all, was a metaphor, The fact is that American military power eventually, after almost 10 years of frantic search, located Osama bin Laden and was able to attack him and to kill him in a compound that appears to have been almost specially created just to protect Osama bin Laden from just this kind of commando raid. But to no effect. We can be thankful that no Americans were harmed in this particular operation, and we can indeed be thankful that the threat of Osama bin Laden has been removed. But as Christians, there are some very complicated questions at stake here. Was this just? Well, in the sense of understanding that this commando raid and that the removal of Osama bin Laden as a threat amounts to removing that which was a real and present danger, a real and present threat, not only to uniformed military personnel, but also to civilians. After all, the vast majority of those killed on September 11 were civilians. There is no doubt that according to the Christian tradition of just war theory, this was a necessary military move in order to protect the innocent. Now, one of the interesting things about the president's address was that he used the language of warfare rather than the language of justice. From a political standpoint, this is understandable. This military raid was more easily justified in terms of the removal of a credible military threat rather than the accomplishment of human justice. The president did not use that kind of language because, had we been primarily concerned about justice, our goal would have been to arrest Osama bin Laden, to try him in a public trial, to see the evidence against him weighed, and then to see a just sentence carried out. But in a fallen world, even as we have this great hunger for justice, we have the reality that some persons simply will not play according to the rules, even the rules of arrest and trial and sentencing. In the case of Osama bin Laden, it is almost assuredly true that he would not have allowed himself to be taken alive. And in essence, you can point to this commando raid as all the evidence necessary that he carried out his end hours exactly as he would have intended. After all, Osama bin Laden died in a firefight, not, as we are told, in a simple targeted act of destruction against his compound. There is no real doubt that the attack and the assassination of Osama bin Laden in this context was morally justified by the understanding of just war. It was a killing that was not done simply for the joy of killing, but rather a killing that was done in order to prevent far greater murder on a mass scale. This is the kind of question that, in terms of moral qualification, comes out to be relatively easy to quantify and to understand. But when it comes to the deeper yearnings for justice, well, that's where we find some very, very difficult and vexing issues. We did not have the ability to put Osama bin Laden on trial. We never had the opportunity to see all the evidence put before him and before a jury and before a watching world in order to make certain that any fair-minded person looking at the evidence would understand the necessity of the verdict and the justice of the sentencing. But this is a fallen world, and one of the problems is that in a sinful world where all the dimensions and components of creation show the effects of sin, our ability to execute perfect justice is not nullified, but it is stymied. There is no way that we can achieve perfect justice. Our human responsibility is to act justly and to do our very best to seek a just outcome, a just verdict, a just resolution when injustice has been done. In the case of Osama bin Laden, we're talking about injustice on the scale of mass murder, thousands and thousands of lives. We're talking about a man who advertised his plans to kill yet others, most of them, of course, innocent civilians, innocent in terms of the morality of war. And so the removal of Osama bin Laden as a threat is an unmitigated good thing. But that's speaking more in the language of warfare. In the language of justice, we feel robbed. Now, remember the fact that there will be many who will be looking at this situation and saying, this was simple revenge, revenge pure and simple. Well, revenge is a very dangerous thing. There's a difference, however, between revenge and vengeance. Vengeance is a holy sense of doing what is required by justice in terms of a penalty against the wrongdoer. But ultimately in Scripture, it is God alone who can carry out vengeance. And when it comes to what human beings do, revenge can often look very ugly because we have an inordinate response, a disproportionate response to evil and injury done unto us. Now, the killing of Osama bin Laden is not a disproportionate result. However, it is a situation that can easily be transferred into a sense of revenge, both on the parts of those who celebrate it and on the part of those who bemoan it, when actually revenge is not an appropriate motivation in this case. The president spoke of those who had lost loved ones in 9/11 and suggested that perhaps they would have some moral satisfaction in this. That same sentiment was echoed by former President George W. Bush and former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Well, it may be so, but at the end of the day, those who lost loved ones and the entire nation that came under attack on September the 11th will find a very empty sense of justice, given the fact that all that was accomplished in this was the public execution and removal of Osama bin Laden. Let's go back to the law of the jungle for a moment. You remember an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Well, we need to be reminded of the fact that that was put into place in human societies as a limitation upon revenge, such that you could not have a disproportionate response. But one of the problems with revenge and the feeling of satisfaction that comes from revenge is that it has a hollow ring. It never absolutely satisfies. The killing of Osama bin Laden was a necessary evil. It was the same kind of necessary evil that is required whenever armed force is used against an aggressor. It is conducted according to the rules that are set down as establishing what is most fair and most just and most morally safe in the use of lethal force. But at the end of the day, there can be no real celebration of any kind of use of lethal force that falls short of the fullness of human justice. We know we can never achieve the fullness of divine justice, but in this case, even the fullness of human justice was robbed of us since we never had the opportunity to indict, to arrest, to try, and to sentence Osama bin Laden. In a fallen world, sometimes we are left with just something like this, the sense that we have of relief that Osama bin Laden is no longer a threat. The hope we have that the death of bin Laden will lead to a splintering of terrorist groups and to a diminishment of the terrorist threat worldwide. But in the end, we will have to await a heavenly court for an adequate verdict against Osama bin Laden. We will have to wait for a heavenly court for a full restoration to those who lost so much on 9/11. And we'll have to wait for a heavenly court to understand exactly where we, as fallen human beings, should and should not celebrate the use of lethal force. We will sleep better knowing that Osama bin Laden no longer walks the earth. But we had better be careful as we celebrate for the wrong reasons and unleash a violence against all in the name of what can only be called sweet revenge. There should be some sense of satisfaction today, but joy? No, that's going to have to await a heavenly court and a heavenly verdict. At this point, as Christians, all that we should allow ourselves is a simple and sober sense of satisfaction that Osama bin Laden is no longer a threat, and that he, in the end, will face the trial he did not have on earth. Thanks for listening to The Briefing. For more information, go to my website at albertmohler.com. You can follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Albert Mohler. For information about the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, go to sbts.edu. For information about Boyce College, go to boycecollege.com. I'll meet you again tomorrow for The Briefing.